Hey, Rosie.
It's Roman.
Yeah, right. Roman. Where'd you run off to? The getting started workshop was just getting started when you bolted.
I got a call from my wife.
Already?
She heard from one of her friends about the layoffs at Consolidated Insurance International.
And you told her?
I did.
And she said?
Actually, she wasn't concerned. Turns out she's run off with a data scientist.
Ouch. Didn't see that one coming.
Me neither.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think that one's going to be on the chopping block soon. Who knows? He might be here next year.
Oh, we could only hope.
So, you missed the whole rest of the presentation?
No, I was only out for a couple minutes. I was sitting in the back.
Okay, so you saw most of it.
I remember how I mentioned after the keynote I had some ideas for Consolidated?
I do.
Well, I think we can really make AI work for me. You know, AI always seemed like this menacing technology that gobbled up jobs and taken over the world.
Yeah, me too. You know, I just watched Demon Seed on the Classic Movie Channel.
Isn't that the one where the AI gets trained by someone reading books, and then later it traps the scientist's wife in the house and impregnates her?
Yeah, something like that. You know, when you think about it, sitting in the room reading books to the AI is kind of how ChatGPT got trained. Except that it ingests the books much, much faster. And maybe you should introduce your wife.
Tempting, tempting. Have you ever seen Colossus?
No, what's that about?
Colossus is a Defense Department computer that teams up with its Soviet counterpart to take over the world.
AI in the Cold War. It must have been 60s or early 70s.
Excuse me, aren't you Goldie Stern from Omnibox?
Well, sort of, on both counts. It's Gilbert Stern, and I'm no longer with Omnibox, but yes.
I'm Claude Esking from New Providence Partners. I saw your talk at the Megadata Associates Conference earlier this year. Data architecture to accelerate business value, or something like that.
Great memory.
Listen, I've been tasked with building an AI practice for New Providence. I'm here gathering ideas and talking with people.
Well, if you're looking for ideas, let me introduce you to Roman Krantz.
Pleased to meet you, Roman. I see you're with Consolidated International.
Well, I was all about 90 minutes ago.
You know, Rowan was just telling me about some of the ideas he had for using AI at Consolidated. And they'd probably work just as well at New Providence.
I'd love to hear them. Frankly, I don't know much about AI. I hired an intern with a ChatGPT login. But that's not the hard part. What I need are people that understand the business, who could provide the context.
Well, that's refreshing. Lately, it seems that the people that understand the business are getting replaced with new hires.
Or AI.
Or AI.
Or contractors.
Especially contractors.
What are you doing after the conference tomorrow? I'd like to talk more.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I've been ordered back to Consolidated to train my replacement. Otherwise, I forfeit my severance.
Look, let me make a couple calls. Why don't we meet in the restaurant off the lobby in an hour?
It works for me. Next session's just about to start. We'll meet you there afterward.
Sounds good. Hey, do you have a card I could take with me?
Sure. Just a second. I'll write my personal email address on the back.
Here you go.
Thanks. See you shortly.
This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper. Welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
Our guest today is absolutely nobody because we got a note that our guest is unavoidably stuck in a circling airplane due to air traffic control and budget-related issues. Therefore, Mark, I think we should go into some detail on what we're seeing and thinking in our practices and provide some of the stuff we've uncovered here in our AI topical adventure for the podcast here. What do you think?
I think there's a lot that's been going on recently that we should talk about. You know, we started sketching this series of opens with Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern several months ago, and the topic of AI displacement is even more relevant now. It's just us today, so let's get started.
Thank you.
this podcast is about data and also about us, because we've talked about the anthropological aspects of things along the way. And for sure, we're touching on that. Our last few episodes are about AI, and we'll be talking more about AI later on in the podcast. But for sure, we're talking about us and changes. Now, big changes are recognized by changes in economies, social structures, employment, human interaction, things like that. And AI seems to be on that list. If the agriculture revolution is a 10, the industrial revolution is a 9.5, AI is around an 8, at least according to ChatGPT. Well, when you look at that list, you see there's a lot of changes and a lot of things have happened. But right now, we have a chance to make a difference versus the other changes. That difference is we can cut off some of the challenges we've seen. I mean, the Industrial Revolution totally changed and turned social structures inside out. We can cut some of that off. Do we need to think at that level? Yeah. Data is the 24/7 record of our existence now. You can do anything to people you want with data. You can tweak their behavior. You can incite them to do things. You can reward them magnificently. So that means the usefulness of data, the ethics around data, the ownership of data, the economy of data are all important, and we have to get on the ball. And for sure, be nice to each other.
If you're just joining us, our guest has been unavoidably delayed.
Apparently some sort of air traffic control slowdown.
So that means we're doing the show without a guest.
At times like this, I think it requires a bit of thinking.
Are there any other options?
I know many executives that would like the answer to that question. However.
However, looks like it's just us. Why don't we get underway? I want to start off with something that we've all been hearing a lot about recently, and that is the failing or underperforming AI projects. And it seems to be trendy to say that in kind of the same way that it's been trendy to say that data governance is failing. And, you know, there's that recent MIT study that found only a 5% success rate, which you have to take with a grain of salt since they defined a successful AI project as one that went into production and generated business value. There is some truth to this, as projects are frequently underperforming, oftentimes due to problems with data governance. And some have called for a wholesale rethinking of data governance, but what we've been doing in the past is still necessary. And maybe it's less a failure of discipline than the evolution into a different way of approaching and implementing it. So from your perspective, what are you seeing when it comes to AI and data governance?
Well, I'm seeing some things that I would call typical. And I'm seeing the responses to resemble historically responses to other things. So let's peel apart your comments here in the last few moments. Are there people saying AI is failing? The MIT thing, 85% are not meeting expectations and all that. And the people that aren't crazy about AI have jumped on that, obviously. The people that are crazy about AI have said, yes, but everything else goes through that phase as well, and we're still forging ahead. So there is a huge driver for that forging ahead. So what I take away from all this talk of failure about AI is we're early days and we're still struggling to find the true value proposition. And more than that, and I'll get to what where this comes from after I say it, is the meaning of AI. And the reason I say meaning is part of my research for putting together questions for the pod. And if you're a listener, you know, Mark, you connect with this. We're not two blokes sitting around a table having a yak here with a friend.
No, we're two blokes on a Zoom call.
But we have to do some research. There's some work. There's some background work here, okay? And we don't have any massive research staffs yet. But part of the research I'm doing is comparing what executives needed to learn about other movements, and we'll be talking about that in the future. And I'm, you know, looking at AI. When you talk about AI and what and the way it's being talked about, you have to look at things like the movement of humanity into an agricultural society. That's a level 10 on changes to human existence. The Industrial Revolution is like a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. And ChatGPT has provided me with this scale, and I've adjusted the scale based on other research and things like that. But I asked ChatGPT these questions 4 or 5 different ways and got extremely consistent answers. So I'm thinking that the sources for all this are fairly accurate. So you have agriculture, then you have the Industrial Revolution. Both of those massive changes to human existence. Is AI doing that? It's possible because we are changing the way we interact with machinery. So if it is possible, I'm thinking we have to understand, and hence my comment, what does this really mean? It's not just another digital doodad that we've been producing digital doodads for the last 50 or 60 years. This could be more significant than just computers and the internet, but it could also be as significant as the Industrial Revolution. That's heavy stuff. So when I hear it's failing or this and that, I think that's all coming from people's opinions, where they sit. Because, I mean, Mark, do you think that AI has, it seems to me there is an enormous amount of momentum for AI. This is a juggernaut. It's not going to stop. No one's, us talking about it's not going to slow it down or anything.
No, not at all. Well, it's sort of like the internet, right? The internet was around for decades.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
But the fact of the matter is, it was around for 30 years before everybody had a browser on their desktop.
Yeah, and Mark, you're the PhD in artificial intelligence, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The esteemed Mark Cooper is a Dr. Mark Cooper with an AI PhD. Now, AI maps 100% to the growth of the internet. It's been around a long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Back in the 1950s, there was a lot of research. And there was a lot of optimism.
And technology was in there. And like the internet, like analytics, and now AI, what triggered the explosion is something happened in the works, underneath the hood, in the technology that enabled it. With analytics, it was massive amounts of data to make the models work. With the internet, it was inexpensive processors because it was easy to put up servers everywhere. And with AI, it was the combination of both of those.
Well, you have exactly.
They've enabled it.
I mean, when I was doing this back in the mid-90s, you know, I was doing neural networks that had maybe 100 parameters. And I would set a simulation running and train it overnight, come back in the morning and see what my results were. And today you can do, you know, you do that in a microsecond, and the models that you've got now are billions of parameters. And so it's a combination of the computing power that's available now, but then also the transformer model. And a lot of times it takes a breakthrough. And that's one of the things that's challenging about trying to predict the future, because you don't know what the breakthrough is going to be. And then with this, it was a very simple premise. It's an embarrassingly simple premise. Develop a neural network that takes in context. I mean, we've been doing contextual networks forever. We've had feedback loops in neural networks. We've trained recurrent networks. This has been common for decades. And then all it had to do was predict the next word.
Yeah. Mark, have you ever listened to Jon Stewart's podcast, The Daily Show?
Nope.
He recently, he is a most curious person, and you can expect some of his stuff, most of his stuff's really political and things like that. He just did, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he had Jeffrey Hinton on, who's considered, you know, one of the fathers of AI. Mm-hmm. And they go through at Jon Stewart's curiosity, how does a neural network work? And it's the most eloquent discussion I've ever heard. And then they go into what does Jeffrey Hinton think about this thing? And that's when you start to go, I don't think I'm going to ever sleep the full night through again, is after you hear some of that. So that's the basics. I have a more contemporary question for you now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We kicked around when we started the AI arc about, I'm a pessimist. I'm an old guy. I've been around a long time. And every time I see something, I immediately see CEOs and boards saying, how do we use this to cut headcount? All right. Mm-hmm. And to me, AI was a lot like computer automation in the 60s and 70s. This is a way to knock headcount down, which always comes back. It's always overdone. It could be just considered just a flat out mistake a lot of times, but there's some differences of opinions out there as to the relationship between AI and headcount. We had Kelly O'Neill on a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and her discussion is not so much towards headcount, but towards enhancing people's work, making work different. So mm-hmm. like the Industrial Revolution took what someone creating cloth would take weeks to do. The Industrial Revolution started to enable us to make cloth in a matter of hours instead of weeks. Yeah. So it was that type of discussion, and the jobs moved, but there weren't fewer jobs, but the jobs moved.
Exactly.
Right. So that's one line of thought. But then in the news lately, 20,000 people, UPS, 14,000 people, Amazon, Microsoft, getting rid of all their developers. The list is very, very long. So Mark, your view on this relationship between headcount and AI.
I think I'm very aligned with Kelly. Picture a room full of people sitting at rows and columns of desks with those little green visors doing bookkeeping. And you have an auditorium-sized room full of people doing bookkeeping. And when computers came out and did bookkeeping, all of those people weren't needed anymore. You know, the from the movie Hidden Figures, right? We had rooms full of people that just did solve mathematical equations by hand or by slide rule that get replaced by computers. Now think about an accounting department. How many people does it take to close the books every month? How many financial professionals does it take? You have a rep in every VP or every director organization that then contributes to somebody who collects all of that and then collates it, puts it in, generates the reports. I mean, you have the same number of people, but they're doing different tasks. And then you have greater capability in the organization as a whole. And so I agree that you end up with the same number of people. You're just doing a lot more with them. And so, yes, the tasks are going to change. The things that people do, some of it isn't going to be needed anymore. And then those folks will do different things. There'll be another set of tasks, another set of capabilities that we're not doing today that will be enabled by AI taking care of those other things. Ask the wagon makers, ask the horseshoers. But there weren't very many auto mechanics in the late 1800s. There weren't very many car dealerships.
Right.
So it'll be a different set of things. It'll be a different set of capabilities. The one place that's a little bit alarming is that, well, two things that are a little bit alarming. The first is that AI seems to be being blamed for some of these layoffs and that folks are being replaced by AI. And that may or may not be true in most cases, but I'm not convinced that the technology and the use of the technology is mature enough to go about the wholesale elimination of tens of thousands of jobs. It seems premature.
Fair enough.
And then So in some respects, it seems like an excuse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, there is some fearful things. I mean, that podcast with Jeffrey Hinton, and he said this in several areas right now. He has an element of that sci-fi movie trepidation for real. So it's worth exploring and make up your own minds on that.
There will be problems. There's going to be problems. There's going to be challenges. This is normal for the adoption of any new technology.
Exactly.
When we had the self-driving cars, I think there was a front page news story every time a self-driving car ran into something. There are not enough newspapers to have a front page story every time a person driving car ran into something.
Correct. Right. And a lot of it is what grabs the headlines. And as we know, fear sells, sex sells. And
leads, it leads.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads. There you go. So, I think my takeaway is, I'm still pessimistic, but I'm leaning towards it's an excuse to chop headcount. And headcount grew a lot after the pandemic, and organizations go through these purges every few years, and there's massive short-term dislocations of people. Now, with the Industrial Revolution and the printing press and things like that, there were dislocations of people that took longer, but there were more. The nature of work changed. I mean, if you go from agricultural to industrial, and then to the digital revolution, you've got people moving from in the factory to a sedate white collar job at a desk, but still getting a living wage or something like that. For our listener, before we move on to the next topic here, there's going to be dislocation, regardless of the reasons, and there's going to be new things to do. And some people, the old things to do aren't going to be there anymore. We were talking, case in point, you and I have both done data architecture work. We've designed data architectures. We've built out infrastructures for delivering massive amounts of data. And you and I were talking this morning about how if we took everything we know to do about that and put it in a bucket, an AI could do it in a heartbeat. And we both know that. I have enough experience with it now to know that. You definitely do. And that's something that I used to get paid a good coin to do for an organization. And now I can stuff a bunch of parameters into an AI, and it'll tell me whether I need microservices or not microservices, or a data lake or a data warehouse or any of that stuff. And I think that position is gone. So big changes. Okay. So I have another question.
It may not be gone. Just to put a finer point on that, it may not be gone, but this is the other challenge that companies are starting to have, especially when they look at their employees, say, we need to cut 14,000 people, 20,000 people, however many, and you lose the data people.
Yes.
And data is a very easy target for cutting because, unfortunately, we have done a very poor job of articulating our value to upper management. You know, we have a dismal track record in many cases of business value. Great work. There's tremendous work that's being done. Just the value isn't recognized. And as a result, there can be we talk about the dislocation. The dislocation ends up being the people who have the information that's most needed. So no, we might not need a lot of developers in the future, because that's one of the things that AI does reasonably well. However, someone still has to go and look at the programs that get developed and say, oh, you know, this does what it's supposed to. I don't know where the AI came up with that. Why did it do that? You know, this is not what it was supposed to do. But somebody has to look at that and say, this is what it really needs to be. Same thing with the data. Somebody has to understand the business context. Maybe AI will be able to do that at some point in the future. But today, if you get rid of the folks that understand the systems, that understand the people, understand how the data flows and the data context and all of the idiosyncrasies, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot. You're getting rid of the very skill set that's going to be most important to make AI useful for a company going forward. And so there's a tremendous risk for companies that are trying to use AI but don't understand the data. If you shed the people that understand the data, then you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Again, I think what we can say is with any dislocation of workforce and any new thing, companies will overcook it and, mm-hmm. and are going to do some dumb things. So, I mean, takeaway from that is if you're in a leadership position and listening to this, is don't do dumb things. Okay. Don't take the people that know the context and toss them out. One more quick topic here. I've noticed, let me know what you think of this. I boiled the implementation of AI into two flavors. One is everybody gets a ChatGPT sign on and you're told use ChatGPT in your job. Do AI. Go do AI. And then there's the use it to move the organization forward, use it as a strategic element, and it's just as important as some massive analytics project or program. It's just as important as setting up a research lab. It's just as important as setting up a new factory or something like that. It's what I would call a enterprise-wide or cross-functional or a macro-level type effort. So you've got these individual things where you're told, go do AI, and then you've got these big things. And I'm noticing that the big things tend to be scrutinized and the consultants come in and there's some oversight and people pay attention to data quality and things. But the local things, I mean, it's just like giving someone Excel or access, you know, and pretty soon, you know, I've been in companies where we've inventoried 150,000 access databases and 80% of them hadn't been looked at or logged into or touched for years. And we're just sucking up money to be stored and could produce erroneous results if used. I'm seeing that trajectory on this, the go do AI thing. Mm-hmm. Do you see anything else or anything different with that? And what do you think, what's your prescriptive advice on that to somebody? Yep. Before we wrap up here?
I think you need to do both. I think you need to have the individual experiments and you have to have AI as part of your enterprise strategy. And it has to be more than just find some AI thing to do and do it. For the individual, you're exactly right. With it, it's going to look a lot like the proliferation of spreadsheets. I mean, look back at how analytics grew and you see a lot of parallels. Where we had the MIS department, everything was cloistered and centralized, and AI was like that for a little while. You know, a lot of companies had dedicated AI groups kind of wading in with one toe and didn't really want to expose it to the masses, and a lot of fear over privacy, and rightly so. But at this point, yeah, anybody can get to ChatGPT from their desktop. There's 100 different AI sites that will do 100 different things, and I think that proliferation is wonderful, that there are so many interesting things that are being done. There has to be, just like with Excel, just like with anything, there have to be guardrails.
Yeah.
These are the things that you can do with it. These are the things that you can't do with it. This is the data. A lot of companies, you know, have their own ChatGPT sandboxes or their own AI sandboxes, their own protected areas where you can do that type of experimentation. But it's from those experiments that you're going to occasionally find something that's applicable broadly and say, hey, you know, maybe everybody could do this, or a lot of folks could do this to facilitate some portion of their job. I mean, there's two ways to look at that. You can look at that as either, oh, this is a chunk of my job that's going to go away and they're going to decide they don't need me anymore. Or you can look at it as, this is a chunk of my job that's going away and look at all this other stuff that I'd rather be doing. How many of us love doing status reports? How many of us love doing meeting summaries or, you know, updates?
Last time I had a big bunch of people, about 120 people reporting to me, I stopped people doing status reports. Yeah. I said, you're wasting my time. You're making this crap up anyway. All right.
Well, you know, creative writing is the most important subdiscipline of
of a status report. Yeah. Oh boy, they were very upset. They didn't know what to do on a Friday afternoon after I did that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there's going to be the things that folks are going to be able to do that they weren't able before, but there also at the same time does need to be that strategic element. There does need to be the, how do AI agents fit into my enterprise architecture? And that needs to be intentional.
Yeah. Well, that's the agentic AI is one of those macro things. And then you have this local stuff. It's just like the spreadsheet or the access database centers. And as you said, the thing to do is put some governance in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I think we have adequately replaced our guest.
Was our guest replaced by AI?
Hey, don't blame me.
As far as I know, they're still in an airplane. We'll have to see if they step out when the door opens or not. And we appreciate you if you're listening to us this far without our guest and hearing what our perspective is. Kind of refreshing to do this. So until the next episode, when we have a real guests back and aren't artificially intelligent guests, thank you for listening. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, John. And one last time, we say thanks to the company that's been a fabulously unreal sponsor through the first 2.5 series of the Rock Bottom Data Feed, Hubris Data Pros. But when you have a partnership with a real company, you no longer need hubris. Welcome to Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. It looks like there may be a few more people joining Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern at the AI Bootstrap, brought to you by Outplaced. In October, Amazon cut 14,000 positions, citing the need to become leaner, reduce bureaucracy, and reallocate resources toward key strategic areas. One of those key strategic areas is generative AI. Many have assumed that those jobs were lost to AI, and some of the headlines have been unfortunately ambiguous on this point, but that's not the case. However, it won't be long before we do see widespread displacement. It's already started in the customer service area. Concern elsewhere is understandable and increasing, and nearly all companies are anticipating increased reliance on AI to get greater efficiencies and productivity. A survey published in September by Resume.org found that nearly 30% of companies have already replaced jobs with AI this year, and 37% expect to replace roles with AI by the end of 2026. Corporate roles that are highly structured, predictable, and repeatable are prime candidates for being replaced by AI. So if you're in a position like that, you need to take action immediately to adapt. Get some AI-related skills, regardless of position, industry, or department. Now, something that hasn't been mentioned a whole lot in these conversations is the importance of domain knowledge. We've talked about how AI can get you 80% of the way there, but it generally won't get you all the way there. Somebody still has to validate the results. The failure to do that, or at least to put up high guardrails, puts your organization at tremendous risk. As I said earlier in the show, I take a positive view of these developments. We see this pattern in all major technology advances. Certain jobs will no longer be needed and they'll be replaced by others. And we're only at the beginning of this shift. Mass replacement of roles by AI will happen, but it won't happen all at once and it won't happen overnight. So the time to prepare is now. That's what I think. We'd love to hear your stories if you're willing to share. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com. And once again, farewell to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental. In this episode, we've tried to present a balanced future view of the potential benefits and threats from AI. Obviously, we want to put ourselves into the best position to take advantage of the benefits, and that means that companies need to be ready and individuals need to be ready. And part of being ready is to visit dataversity.net, where you'll find a wealth of AI and data resources. Use discount code ROCK15 to get 15% off your first purchase. Until next time, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about losing jobs to AI, at our website, rockbottomdatafeed.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counter-Threaded production, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.